Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Easter Monday, the first day of April 2013. Hope you had a lovely Easter weekend. And for all of our Jewish friends, hope you had a wonderful Passover as well. We are live on the Buckmaster Show each weekday, noon to 1, on the home of Buckmaster, and it's AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream our show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we make the program available for you on your schedule. You can podcast by listening to buckmastershow.com or going to tucsonsentinel.com and tucsoncitizen.com. All have our program posted for you, and we're also prominently displayed on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, that's gvnews.com, and Blog for Arizona also has a link to our show. Mondays on the Buckmaster Show, we begin with our Monday political face-off today featuring commentators John Munger and Paul Eckerstrom. 30 minutes past the hour, Sean McCluskey will join us. We'll be discussing the campaign to give away free shotguns to people to protect themselves in Tucson's most troubled neighborhoods. Then we'll close out the show with the new volunteer coordinator for Pima Animal Care Center. If you have a question or comment, please join us at 790-2040. Monday political face-off, John Munger is here. John, Tucson attorney and former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010, and Paul Eckerstrom, former state chair and vice chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday political face-off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at MoesGallery.com. Paul and John, did you have a nice Easter?
Had a wonderful Easter.
Yep. Perfect weather.
Did you get out the ham or the leg of lamb, or what'd you do?
Went to church.
No big meal?
Oh, my wife is such a marvelous cook that everything she cooks is great. She did cook some ham. Yeah.
We went out to dinner, and I had rabbit. I had the Easter Bunny for dinner.
Oh, you ate rabbit. Good. Yeah, that's good.
The Easter Bunny.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, my goodness.
That's good, Paul.
And I won't ask you where you went for your Easter dinner. Gentlemen, as you heard me promoting at the 12:30 segment, Sean McCluskey will be here. John and Paul, some of your thoughts about this campaign that Sean is pushing on free shotguns for people.
Well, I think all Sean is trying to do is make sure that people who are qualified, they have to pass a background check, a standard background check. They have to be fully qualified. He's requiring that they take training. But people who, under those circumstances, would like a weapon but can't afford one, he's offering them a free weapon for self-defense, and I think that's commendable. People should not be prohibited from defending themselves or being able to defend themselves and exercise their Second Amendment rights for lack of funds. And he's making this available not at public expense but at private expense, and I think it's a commendable thing to do.
Paul Eckerstrom, you think it's a good idea?
I don't think it's a great idea. I think it's a publicity stunt. I'm not sure the type of weapon he's giving these people is great for self-defense, because I guess it's a single shot shotgun. And the other thing is it's a publicity stunt, and I think he's just doing it to draw attention to himself and draw attention to gun ownership, which, you know, I don't have any problem with gun ownership, and I don't have any problem with people having guns for self-defense. I just have a major problem with the fact that we aren't making sure that, as John had just said, they have to go through a background check. Well, 40% of the people who buy guns out there right now don't have to go through a background check at all. They could be mentally ill. They could have a criminal record. If they go to a gun show or they get a private sale, They don't have to go through a background check, and as a result, they can easily get guns anytime they want.
Well, that 40% number, Paul, really isn't right. That's 40% of the people that go to a gun show don't have to register. What that number is about is 40. If you go to a gun show, most 60% of the weapons that are bought there are bought from dealers, and the dealers have to do a background check. About 40% of the sales at gun shows are not done with dealers, and they're done privately, and I think that's fine. But I think we would both agree that what needs to happen with regard to background checks is we've got to solve this problem of being able to get into the mental illness records of potential gun buyers. That was the problem with Jared Laughlin. He passed a background check to buy the weapon that shot Gabby
Indeed.
Giffords.
Yes,
because his mental records were not available to the FBI for the background check, and that is a problem.
Well, that confidentiality, they couldn't get into that.
The mental health lobby in this country has prevented that information from being available. So the only thing that's being done on a background check is to see if somebody's already violated the law, not whether they're mentally competent. Now, I understand and appreciate the desire for confidentiality in those issues, but somewhere there's a solution to this, and we've got to have comprehensive background checks that really work. That check not only the criminal record but the mental health record of people. And at some point there's got to be a level, and I don't know the answer, there's got to be a level of mental health concern that would be a valid basis for restricting or limiting somebody's ability to buy a gun. Clearly Jared Laughlin had been thrown out of PCC because he was considered to be a threat to himself and his class. That would probably be a basis for having denied him a weapon.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with John. There is that tension with confidentiality being able to use that information for background checks. And it's a solution that is out there. It just needs to happen.
Yeah, we just need to work together on that. I mean, we can put a man on the moon. We can solve that problem.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, we bring up a good point here. I think we are not taking care of the mentally ill as well as we need to in this
absolutely.
Country. And we need to fund mental health care better. We need to make sure it's accessible. Most mentally ill are challenged in terms of financially challenged, unless they come from a very good family. They have a hard time holding a job. They have a hard time having health care insurance because of that. So we need to do something as a society. For our own protection.
Oh, I agree.
Treat mental illness better than we are now. And that takes some resources, and that means money, and unfortunately it means a little bit more tax money, but it'd be money well spent.
Well, I agree. That is an area where we've got to do something. I don't agree that we need more tax money. What we need to be is putting a higher priority on that and a lower priority on some of what I would call, you might disagree, on wasteful spending. But we need to prioritize, let's put it this way, prioritize our spending, and that needs to have a much higher priority.
I agree with
that. It is a public safety issue as well as a moral issue, in my opinion.
It's going out of the Buckmaster Show live line. I believe John is up first. Is that right, Rose? We've got John up first. Go ahead, John.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon.
I had a quote that I was going to read and then try to get your response of how a registration or universal background check differs from a government list of gun owners. And the quote was from Rahm Emanuel, but for my Democrat friends out there, you can picture it coming from Karl Rove. Here it is. It says, "We have to make this a test vote and then take it into the election."
I can't hear you. Try it.
Maybe possible terrorists. You cannot buy a handgun in America. If you're on that list, your access to the right to bear arms is canceled because you're not part of the American family. You don't deserve to have that right. There is no right for you if you're on that terrorist list.
The
problem with it as kind of a civil libertarian is that...
John, could you repeat the first sentence of that? We kind of missed that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It says, we have to make this a test vote and then take it into the next election. And this quote is probably about 4 years old.
And the concept that you're saying is that if you're on a terrorist list, you don't have a right to buy a gun?
Yeah, and it seemed like the list could be arbitrary.
Well, so that's my concern. The question is, I think both Paul and I are civil libertarians. Yep. So I think both of us probably would say, how is that list derived? I mean, if you have some bureaucrat writing down a list of anybody he wants it to be, we're not going to agree with that. I'm sure Paul's nodding his head. Yeah. But you know, if you're restricting it to the Osama bin Laden and some of the people on the valid Al-Qaeda list and Saddam Hussein and some of his folks, yeah, I'd agree with you.
Well, and here's that's the balance that you have to find is, one, you have to have a government agency or maybe a judge make a determination that somebody is, let's say, seriously mentally ill, and there's that's the threshold by which they would put you on a list where you could not buy a gun. But that would probably take some sort of judicial action in our courts for that to happen before you get put on that list. You got to be very careful how you do this, because otherwise you would be trampling on people's civil liberties, and I'm against that.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break right here. This is the Monday Political Face-Off. Paul Eckerstrom is with us, and John Munger. We will be back after we hear from our fine lineup of sponsors to the Buckmaster Show. It is the first of the month. Want to welcome a new sponsor, Bear Mountain Lodge over in Silver City. Welcome to our Team Buckmaster lineup. Let's hear from the rest of the folks.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com. Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. The impossible is possible. Biosphere 2 embraces the complexity about the future of the planet, developing and testing sustainability strategies essential for a better life. Become part of this center that is becoming the incredible new UA Biosphere 2. See why Time Life Books named it one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, an inspiring adventure for visitors with guided behind-the-scene tours. Open daily, north of Tucson, America's Science City.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Also, like them on Facebook. They have a very active Facebook page going now on Moe's Gallery. I always recommend Moe's Gallery for any of anyone's framing needs. They can take care of it. Moe even makes house calls. Go out and measure everything up. John Munger and Paul Eckerstrom with us on the Monday Political Face-Off. Going to switch gears here. We've been talking about firearms. I want to move on to immigration because something pretty significant, John and Paul, happened over the weekend. The AFL and the pro-business U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who rarely agree on anything, reached a deal over the weekend that would allow tens of thousands of low-skill workers in this country to fill jobs in construction, restaurants, and hotels. Under the compromise, the government would create something called a W visa program for low-skill workers who would earn wages paid to Americans or the prevailing wages for the industry they are working in, whichever is higher. Paul Eckerstrom, think this will help in solving our immigration issue?
I think it's a step towards that. I think one of the components, I think, for a comprehensive immigration policy is that we have to have some sort of guest worker program where people can come here legally, fill jobs that aren't being filled by Americans, and so that the industries can get the labor that they need and do it in a legal fashion rather than having people coming over illegally and being here illegally and also ultimately taken advantage of in terms of the work that they do, maybe paid less money and not gaining any type of benefits or anything like that. So I think this is a great move by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and Labor to set the stage for, I think, a comprehensive immigration policy and bill that hopefully will get through Congress this year.
I still think, John Munger, this is going to be a hard one to sell, especially in the House. You have many of the Republicans will be facing tough elections, and this could be a very tough issue.
Well, I don't think so as long as you can prove the border secured. And, of course, one of the things that happened about 10 days ago is the Department of Homeland Security announced that they didn't have any kind of metric by which they could establish that the border was secured. They were supposed to have started on that back in 2010, and today, still today, the DHS cannot tell us, doesn't have any metric to determine whether the border is secured. Well, if you can't determine the border is secured, you're going to have problems passing any immigration reform because everybody pretty much wants that border secured first. Now, but presuming that you can identify how to prove the borders first secured, I don't think anybody really has any problem with bringing in guest workers, even low-level workers, for this reason. I do a lot of immigration work, and I can tell you that to bring in that kind of employee, you first have to advertise for American employees at the same wage level, and you can only hire the foreign worker if you can't get an American worker. I think that's fine. I have no problem with that. That's the way our H-1B program works for engineers and other high-level people, and I suspect that's what it's going to be. So, you know, if you advertise and you can't find Americans for the job, then fine. As long as people aren't accepting or aren't hiring jobs that there are Americans available to hire. And I think that's incidentally why the AFL-CIO is willing to agree to that, because they strongly suspect that there will always be Americans of
able to do that. For that particular labor pool.
Well, and one of the things that's difficult about this issue is I don't think you can ever secure the border. I don't think that's a real possible thing to do without basically spending huge amounts of resources. And even then, if you secure the southern border, they're just going to get in boats and go around and come in on a shoreline somewhere else if there's that motivation to do it. Now, if there is a legal path by which they can come here and get a job, I think that alleviates a lot of the motivation to come to the United States illegally. And so I think this is a step in the right direction. You know, I think it's kind of naive for anybody to think that border can be totally secured. Yes, can we make it more secure than it is? But I don't think we're ever going to be able to make it totally secure. And if we don't make a legal process where some of these people can come here legally to get a job, then they're just going to come here illegally by hook or by crook.
I think that's a fair analysis, Paul. I do think that Senator Jeff Flake made a good distinction today. He was interviewed and he said, look, I don't think you can ever talk about the border being sealed.
Right, right.
I don't think we'll ever seal that border. It's too big of a border. But I think we can secure the border. And I think that if we have some metric by which we can say, look, we know how many people are coming across. We can identify how many people are coming across. We know what the numbers are. I think that's what people are looking for. Right now, we don't have a clue. And I think at that point, then if you can say, okay, we're doing a pretty good job, a reasonably good job of securing the border as opposed to sealing it, absolute sealing it, I think then people would say, okay, and it will help the system better even more if we have this mechanism to work. So I think you're on the right track, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's where you're going to see the compromise come in this. I think we're going to get immigration passed this year.
I do too. Yeah,
I really do.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, getting back to this, you said this metric. What would be considered a secure border?
Well, that's the problem, Bill. They've never been able to identify what would be a secure border. They were trying to use for a while the number of arrests on the border.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't use the number of arrests on the border because you don't know what percentage of the people you're arresting. Moreover, very frankly, there have been a lot of border agents who have said, look, I've arrested some or tried to arrest somebody, and my administrator supervisors say, no, we've arrested enough people this month, you can't arrest that guy. And so that skews the numbers too for political purposes. The politicians want the number of arrests to be declining.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want the officers to be arresting because that shows a problem out there. And so they've now determined that is not the valid metric. Well, you've got to have some mechanism to determine how secure is that border. And they just haven't figured out how to do it. And frankly have admitted public testimony before Congress 10 days ago that they didn't know how to do it.
Well,
yet.
I'm not sure how you do it.
I mean, I'm not sure either.
That's the problem. I mean, it's not that easy. If somebody's coming across the border clandestine, how do you know if they came across the border or not? I mean, it's a problem if we are going to try to say we got to get to a certain level of security on the border before we have a worker program. I'm not sure we'll ever get there, and that is a problem.
Well, it is
politically.
I will tell you, I have some clients who have developed some technology where they can actually determine. You give them a stretch of land, and they can out in the middle of nowhere, and they put in sensors in the land, and they can hear feet on the ground, and they can tell how many people are coming across where. And what they're doing there. And
these are local people.
These are people in Cochise County.
Wow.
And they are in the process of commercially selling that technology and trying to get it into the system. But there are ways where you can technologically identify how many people are coming across.
All right, John Munger, Paul Ackerstrom, thank you both very much on the Political Face-Off. Hope you both Thanks. Have a great week.
Yep.
The Monday Face-Off is sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. In other words, they do it all. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lawl and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The man whose best friend died in the Colorado movie theater attack last summer says he's thrilled to hear that prosecutors will be seeking the death penalty against James Holmes. Holmes faces numerous charges stemming from last year's theater massacre. The top administrator in the county where a Texas DA and his wife were found killed in their home says he's certain that he and other officials are being protected. Kaufman County Judge Bruce Wood not elaborating on the security details. According to a Syrian official and an anti-government activist, a synagogue in Damascus that's believed to be thousands of years old has been damaged and looted amid clashes that consume the surrounding neighborhood. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 29 points. The Nasdaq is off 34. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits. Per second. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, April the 1st, 12:35. Want to welcome another new sponsor to the Buckmaster Show. It's always great to get people who believe in this program. And another one is the City of Benson joining us. They are promoting their Bluegrass in the Park Festival, April 26th through the 28th. This is going to be a great weekend. It's their 8th annual Bluegrass in the Park, and they have a really great lineup of talent from all over the West, and they are really trying to make this for the entire family. Among the performers, and there's a whole long list, Joey Adams and the String Dudes from Colorado Springs, Colorado, and a local favorite from Bisbee, the Bost Family Traditions. That's the Bisbee or the Benson Bluegrass in the Park, April 26th through the 28th. A campaign promising free shotguns for people to protect themselves in Tucson's most troubled neighborhoods is putting Tucson in the national spotlight. Joining me in studio, community activist Sean McCluskey. Sean is a Tucson real estate agent. He's a former candidate for mayor and Tucson City Council. Sean is spearheading the Tucson effort as part of something called Armed Citizen Project. This is a national campaign to give shotguns to single women and homeowners in America's crime-ridden neighborhood. Sean, how are you?
Great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, tell me how you hooked up with these folks, Armed Citizen Project, which I believe it was started by, was it a University of Houston student?
Correct. Kyle Copeland is the founder of the program, and I was sitting in for a local radio show host, and he said, you know, find a couple articles that would look appealing to you. You can talk about them while you're on air. I'm okay, great. Going through a couple of the articles, and I see this one, and I was like, wow. I was like, you're giving away shotguns in the high crime, low income areas. So I was like, okay, sounds like a pretty decent program. Went to the website, started doing some research on it, called Kyle, spoke with him several times, realized that Houston and Tucson have a lot of similarities. We've got an unwillingness by our city council in both cities to fully fund public safety, and that created a need for the program. Spoke with Kyle extensively and said, hey, would you mind bringing this program to Tucson? Called him and said, you know, let's do it, and we started the program last Monday.
So is it like a franchise?
It will be a charter city or a fellow city in his program as well. He's going to be looking at expanding into Dallas and or Indianapolis in the next 60 days as well.
So who is eligible, Sean, for this program?
Anyone that we're going to flyer the entire neighborhood, and then we'll go through and we'll collect the information from the individuals that would like to participate. If they can go to armcitizenproject.org and fill out the contact us form, that'll get to us, and then we'll go from there. We've identified three areas, but by the response that we've been receiving so far, we might change those three areas because other areas have had greater responses. I obviously, if the neighborhood has a need, want, and desire for this program, I want to support that neighborhood.
So you're not just limiting it to certain neighborhoods. It could, if other neighborhood groups got together and said they'd like to be a part of it.
Absolutely. We received a lot from Steve Kay's ward over there in 29th and Columbus area. And I'm sorry, that's not Steve's area. But out of Steve Kay's ward, we received several, and then at the 29th and Columbus area, we received several requests there as well.
Okay, let's talk about those who are not happy with the program. Some elected officials. We had Karen Ulick on the program.
Shocking. She doesn't support. She doesn't support public
and
safety.
Rahina didn't has publicly said she doesn't support the program. But basically, those folks who are not supporting her are calling it a publicity stunt.
For what?
For Sean McCluskey.
For what? I'm sorry to be childish in that aspect, but it's like the kid going, "Why?" This is the grand display of, or I said opening of it, was a website posting on my Facebook page that said, "It's here, it's live," and I tagged 30 people. I didn't expect the big splash that it's made, obviously. It's been overwhelming, and I didn't do it for any other aspect except to bring the program here to Tucson.
Now, the city of Tucson, the police chief was on the program recently, Sean, and he says there has been crime is starting to go up again, but let's go back and say he's basically saying crime has been decreasing in the Tucson area, but now is on a little bit on the upswing.
Well, if crime's decreasing, why are we having the response that we're having for the need or the want for this program?
I have no idea, but I'm just saying that the police department
since
shows...
Since 2008, they've reduced the police staff by 7% every single year.
Okay.
With that being said, we have 150 police officers shortage now, and that was by Chief Villasenor in December 19th in the Arizona Daily Star. He also said in the Daily Star that he's not picking on a daily basis which calls he can respond to. It's more on an hourly basis as to which calls they cannot respond to. This is a direct reflection of our city council and our elected officials and their inability to fully fund public safety.
Why the particular single shot? Shotgun.
We started out with a single shot shotgun because it's cost effective. It's one of the least expensive weapons that you can provide, so you can get more people armed. The availability has since then become a problem because of the limitation on the gun production. So we may go to pump action shotguns, and they're a little more expensive, but they're more readily available as well.
Where is the funding coming from?
Funding's coming from completely from donations. And if you go to armedcitizenproject.org, you can hit the donate button on any one of the pages. You can go to the Tucson page that goes directly here, and we will accept any and all donations from anywhere.
And participants, they will have to be trained, correct?
Correct. They will go through a background check. They will go through a handling and safety course. They'll go through a maintenance course. They will also go through range time as well. That will be provided by That'll be provided by Warrior School, a local Tucson company. The weapons will be purchased from Black Weapons Armory, and they will also go through the background check with Black Weapons Armory. They will be provided a lock, a cleaning kit, like I said, the training, the safety, and basically I want the citizens to go out there to be comfortable, competent, and completely safe in their homes with their weapons.
What will it cost then each participant? What will it cost through donations? What
do you roughly about $350 per package.
Mm-hmm. And how much? Well, how many donations have come in so far?
Prior to start kicking the program off, we had pledges up to $12,000 here locally. I don't know what we've raised nationally on a daily basis. It keeps coming in every single day. So once again, it's armcitizenproject.org and hit the donate button, please.
Do you think that, obviously you do, but maybe you can explain why. Do you think that more weapons in the hands of people will help reduce crime in a neighborhood?
Criminals are the lowest common denominator. They go for the easy target. And if you flyer the entire neighborhood announcing that we are going to arm citizens in this neighborhood, the criminals will go elsewhere. It inevitably will make it a safer neighborhood. With the training and everything else, you'll be able to protect the neighborhood by basically a mental game to where they don't know which one is armed, which one isn't armed, and so are they going to go to that neighborhood? No, they'll move on.
Kind of when people put up the neighborhood watch.
Absolutely.
We've got one in our neighborhood.
But in the past 10 years, that really worked well. Yeah. And it works well
now
because you've got community policing.
Yeah.
And I like that aspect of it. But the alarm sign used to be very effective.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, with the reduction of the police force, thanks to our city council, that is no longer effective. Now the criminals look at that alarm sign and go, "Ooh, I've got a challenge. I wonder if I can break in and get away before the cops get here." Oh, guess what? The cops aren't coming. Thank you, city council.
All right, Sean McCluskey, thank you for joining us. And again, if people would like more information,
armcitizenproject.org. Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you, Sean. Coming up now on 12:44 on this, the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show, we will be right back. We'll be right back.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
12:48 now on the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, and they have a big bicycle race coming up. If you're into bike racing, Tour of the Gila, it's a 5-day bicycle stage race, May 1st through May 5th over in Silver City. Lots of places to stay, including Georgetown Cabins and Ridge Park RV Park, just to name a few. The full list is located at southwestnewmexico.org. Check it out, and might want to go over there for the upcoming bike race. Well, the Pima Animal Care Center has a new volunteer coordinator, and we want to introduce all of the Buckmaster Show listeners to Jose Ocaño, who joins us now in studio. Jose is a Tucson native. He loves animals. He worked originally at Pima Animal Care Center as an animal care technician, and then he went away to work in Orlando, Florida with the SPCA shelter, and now he has returned. And he is back at Pima Animal Care Center. Jose, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure, and I want to share with our listeners about the wonderful volunteer opportunities that are available. What kinds of tasks are available to volunteers, Jose?
You know, one of the things that I'm doing now as the new volunteer coordinator is really just expanding on what we're doing. For the longest time, it's really been focused on dog walking, a little bit of cat socializing. And so now we're going to open it up. Well, I'm starting a generations program, because right now you have to be 16 years old in order to volunteer. So if you're between the ages of 11 and 15, you can come in with your parent and guardian and volunteer. It's so important to get that those young kids in there involved with the cause. We're going to start having volunteer groomers. You know, it's really sad sometimes to see the condition these animals come in. And we really need some professional groomers to come in and volunteer their services to make these animals feel more comfortable. We're going to have greeters. So when you come in, you have help navigating through the shelter. I know you've been there before.
I have. In fact, I will give a testimony right now that my love of my life, Princess, my Norwegian forest cat, purebred Norwegian forest cat, also AKA known as Maine Coon cats. They're the long... They've kind of like the, in the dog world, it'd be like kind of a husky dog. They've got all the, they're the
lots
cats with all the hair.
Oh, but very they, big.
Very big, very beautiful. And my princess is a graduate of Pima Animal Care Center, where lots of wonderful things are going on. I'm so glad that the classical music is now being played. You said that has begun?
Yeah. Starting Friday, it's kind of an enrichment thing. I think of several months ago, we have a nonprofit through PAC called PAC Partners. And so they donated about $10,000, and they put in a great sound system where
wonderful
classical music is being streamed. And what someone the other day was like, wow, that's a lot of money for a sound system. But what it really does is it de-stresses them. And when they're de-stressed, they stay healthier. And a healthy pet is an adopted pet. So in the large scheme of things, we're going to be able to keep pets there healthier for longer periods of time and get them adopted.
And we also want our companion animals and our future pets to have a nice place while they are at the care center. So volunteers have stepped up and tried to improve the bedding.
Yeah, you know, that was another thing through PAC Partners, where they went out and several volunteers came out and they made beds. So, because the idea is, you know, the shelter, it's not the most ideal place for any animal, but what can we do as a facility to make their stay hopefully as short as possible, because we want them to get adopted, but as comfortable as possible. And, you know, so having beds there for them, making sure the shelter is really, really clean, having the classical music through volunteers, dog walking, for instance, taking those dogs out, you know, for a walk and getting them some socialization, teaching them some shelter manners so they can maybe learn how to walk on a leash better. It's so important the role that volunteers play in the success of our shelter.
Let's go over where the shelter is located. Some people may have never been there before,
yeah,
and they'd like to volunteer. Maybe the best thing is just to come out, meet up with you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're located on 4000 North Silver Bell. We're on Sweetwater and Silver Bell, but the more known street would be Grant and Silver Bell, but it is a little several miles away from Grant. And yeah, we are in such need of volunteers right now. We That's one of the things I'm doing is restructuring the program. Right now we have about 100 volunteers, and we probably...
You probably could use five times.
We need about 1,000 in reality. Really? Yeah, that's what you would need to
do. 10 times that many, yeah, to do what you want to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The more volunteers, the better care we can give. So if anyone is interested, their first step is to come to what is called an open house. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's you don't register for it. You come in. It's an information center. Learn about who we are. Because so many people do have this preconceived idea of the shelter. You know, my mom still calls it the dog pound.
That it's real depressing.
Yeah, and it's dirty and there's not care for the animals. And it is night and day. It's completely not that anymore. And so I encourage people to come to this open house so they learn about that, learn about the volunteer opportunities. The next open houses we have is April 25th, and it's at 5:30. And
what day is that? A Saturday?
That's a Thursday.
Oh, a Thursday.
And then we have one on Saturday, the 27th of April at 1 p.m.
Yeah, because it might be easier for people who are working to go to the one on Saturday at 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. on the 27th of April. There is the emotional part of when you volunteer, and I like your attitude, Jose Ocaño, about that these animals wind up there for whatever reason. They've had a really tough time.
Yeah.
And you can choose to say, well, it's depressing, you know, they're caged, but what's the alternative? It's better probably in 99% of the cases than the situation they were in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I would talk to people all the time. At least they're here. People could have the option of, and a lot of people do, they dump their animals in the desert and things like that. So at least they're bringing them here. And now that they're here, they have that second shot. You know, so when I go into the shelter and I see, you know, hundreds and hundreds of animals, it can easily be depressing. But I choose to look at it and say, what a great opportunity for us to do right by these animals now and get them that home where they're going to be in the loving home and with the owners that are going to hold them in the regard that they deserve.
The dog walking, where is that done? Is there an area there at the shelter that you do this?
We're located right next to Christopher Columbus Lake. And so it's a perfect scenery to go and walk the dogs. And some of the other things, you know, socializing the cats, you know, I know you're a cat lover.
I am a cat lover, but I love dogs too.
Yeah, you know, and so going in there and, you know, really just petting the cats and socializing them. And even we have volunteer opportunities for people who maybe are allergic to animals or can't do that. We need office help. We need help people. Me, myself, I need help with a volunteer program. I need help in the dispatchers, people who can answer the phones. You know, we get 32,000 calls a year.
Whoa.
And the average question is, what are your hours and where are you located? You know, and that's something a volunteer could really do for us. Basically, we're looking to expand our volunteer program and have volunteers in every department because that is what's going to really move us in the direction we want to go to. Because we've been breaking a lot of boundaries, but we're not satisfied. We want to be the best, and we will be.
Well, I like the way you're setting this goal here. You've got 100 volunteers now to work with, but you really need 10 times that. So the immediate goal is, let's double it. initially, just to, you know, because if you start to think, well, I need 900, that seems like a lot, but maybe in the coming months you can at least double that figure realistically by the summer, get 200 volunteers.
Yeah, and I think we'll for sure be there. You know, part of what I'm doing is changing the way we recruit and train volunteers. And so right now I just did 3 open houses over the past week, last week, and we had 60 people participating, and you get through the whole program in about 4 weeks. So if those, and to just today I was looking and we had 50 applications. And so at the end of April, we could have 50 new volunteers. And if we keep that up, you know, every month, we'll get there. We'll get there pretty quickly.
So if you are an animal lover, an animal person, you're looking perhaps to do some volunteering, maybe you're working part-time, you have some hours available, or perhaps you're retired and would like to spend some time really making a difference in this community for our animal care, I strongly recommend contacting Jose Ocaño. And what is the best way then to reach you, Jose?
You can email me, which is Jose, Jose, .OCANO at pima.gov, or give me a call at 520-243-5920 and we'll get you all started.
And if you didn't get all that information, probably another good way would be to go to my website, buckmastershow.com. Send us an email, and we will get you in touch with Jose and Jose Ocaño, who is the volunteer coordinator at Pima Animal Care Center. Jose, good luck to you, and thank you very much for coming on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. So if you want to help out, Pima Animal Care Center, hoping to make that shelter a real model for the southwestern United States. Want to thank Culligan Water, bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water, the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. All of our guests here on the Buckmaster Show, all of our in-studio guests, if they're on the phone, we can't give them a bottle of Culligan water, but we strongly suggest they'll like Culligan water because it simply tastes better. So check out Culligan. Want to congratulate the Wake Up Tucson show celebrating its four-year anniversary for Wake Up Tucson, which comes up tomorrow morning, 6 to 8. I was thinking of 2 years because 2 months from today, the Buckmaster Show will celebrate 2 years here on KVOI, and that's where the 2 years came from. Also this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show. John, this year's 2013 Golden Mike Award winner. John's show from 3 to 5. We'll be back on the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow afternoon, Crystal Foster will be our leadoff interview of the TUSD Governing Board. Hope to see you then.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.